Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, we've been talking about the fear of the Lord, and we've been saying we want to get to it, and we're going to share it, we're going to get to it, we're going to get to it today, we're going to get to it. And I know, Pat, you've been sharing out of a book that you have read multiple times, which is The Fear of the Lord by John Bevere. Have the book, haven't quite gotten to it because I'm reading another book on the fear of the Lord that I can't get out of. And this book was written some time ago. It's called Intimate Friendship with God Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord by Joy Dawson. And it's excellent. It's excellent. She breaks down some really, really just amazing things about the fear of the Lord. And one of the first things that we need to know about the fear of the Lord is what it is and what it is not. You know, fear of the Lord is not for us to be terrified of God. He doesn't want us living in terror. The Word of God tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. So what fear of the Lord are we actually talking about? And we're talking about an honor, a reverence, an awareness that God is in the house. Mm-hmm. And we need to respect him. We need to do what he tells us to do and not break his laws and his commands and his ways and his word in his face. Mm-hmm. And you look across America, you don't see any fear of God. If you look in the church, a great majority, there is no fear. There's no reverence. There's no awe. And we need to get back to the fear of the Lord. The safest place is humility and the fear of the Lord. And God's not going to call us to do anything, right? He's not going to call us to do anything that we're not able to do. And one of the things she says, so we can be assured that because God is just, he would never set us a standard without making full provision for us to attain it. God's not going to set this standard of the fear of the Lord and all of a sudden, no. But no, he's going to give us provision. He's going to enable us to walk in it. And Proverbs 8:13 says that the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's the hatred of evil. And she goes on in her writings to say that means having God's attitude towards sin at all times. The more we study the holiness of God from his word, the more we understand the extent of his hatred of sin. We need to ask God for a holy hatred of sin. We need to hate what he hates. And if we don't understand his holiness, if we don't understand his majesty, if we don't understand his splendor, you understand that, listen, God can't stand in the presence of sin. Just sorry, can't do it. God, sin, don't mix. Mm-hmm. He's so holy, he's so pure, he's so spotless, he's so righteous. He's God, he's perfect. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal, no sin. And so if we're living a life of sin and we don't know God, he has to judge sin. See, a police officer wouldn't be a police officer unless he what? Arrests people. That's what he does. A firefighter wouldn't be a firefighter unless he what? Puts out fires. That's what he does. Yeah. And God wouldn't be God unless he does what? Judge and deal with sin. And he has done that already on the cross. But if we refuse to embrace the cross and what was done for us on Calvary and receive what Jesus did for us and we hold on to sin, listen, he has to judge it. And his wrath and his judgment can fall on you if you hold on to that sin. Mm-hmm. Or it can fall on the cross. But we have to choose. Mm-hmm. And when we understand that God is a holy God, it helps us completely and entirely on how we respond to him. And I think it's just so, so good that we get a good understanding of the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about this more. She has a fantastic prayer in this, and I'm trying to find it for us. Hopefully I can have it for us. But it is wonderful because it really opens up our heart on this journey to say, you know what, God, I want everything that you have for me, and I don't want to live in you know, irreverence towards you. There's nothing more than to see something that's like, wait a minute, that's not right. That should do something to us when we look at somebody that acts irreverent towards any authority. Imagine how much more when we do it towards God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she writes. She says, in regards to God, we stand in awe of you as we contemplate your awesome holiness, majestic splendor, blazing glory, limitless power, and unquestionable sovereignty. We worship you for your flawless character, your infinite knowledge and wisdom, your absolute justice, unswerving faithfulness, and unending mercy and matchless grace, and terrible wrath against sin. We bow our hearts and bend our knees before you as we acknowledge your dazzling beauty, your fascinating personality, your incomprehensible humility, your unsearchable understanding, and your unfathomable love. Mm. We acknowledge that our greatest need is to have a far greater revelation of what you are really like. And we ask you to meet that need. Teach us your ways that we may know you and find favor in your sight. Thank you that you will answer these sincere requests in Jesus' name. We have to understand that, listen, this is not grandma's religion.
Mm-mm.
This is understanding that if we're going to have intimate mm-hmm. relationship with God, we're going to have to know how to approach him and understand that he is holy and he is reverent, and we need to have a healthy fear of him. The fear of the Lord. And it should produce two things in our hearts, the fear of God. First, it should produce in us the same attitude towards sin that God has. He hates it.
Mm-hmm.
He hates it. So if we're going to have the fear of the Lord, we have to have, if God hates it, then we hate it.
Mm-hmm.
The second is to give us a deep respect for and the understanding of the holiness of God and the power of God and the total sufficiency of God to meet man's need. See, if we understand that, listen, we don't have to sin. We can believe that whatever it is, we can believe God to. He is all sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
He can take care of it. We don't have to complain. We don't have to fall into any kind of sin. Everything that we need for godliness and happiness is all found in Jesus Christ. Yeah. If we truly understand it and have that revelation, believe it and walk it out,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be good.
Yeah.
We got to have a total hatred towards those things. The other thing, in connection with the fear of the Lord, is to have obedience. Obedience tells us how much we fear him.
That's right.
Or how much we don't fear him. And so, once we have a healthy, you know, fear of the Lord, we'll start to see obedience manifesting in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obedience, dying to what we are, whatever, you know, we feel is the right thing to do.
Obedience says we fear God.
Exactly.
You can't say you fear him if you don't obey him. It's a contradiction.
Huge contradiction. And Jonah found that out.
Mm-hmm.
When God told Jonah, we want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah decides,
I don't think so.
I don't think so, God.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm going to obey you, what you want me to do. I'm going to bow out of this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? A choice not to obey is a choice to disobey. Remember that.
Either one or the other.
Exactly.
So how did that go for him?
Oh, it didn't go quite well. he's on this boat, and storms are raging. Things are going really crazy on this boat. And before you know it, you know, the guys on the boat, what is going on here? What, you know, can anybody tell us what's happening here? And Jonah's like, oh, it's me. It's... The reason this boat was about to go over, it's because I've decided to
run away,
not fear God and do my own thing.
Yeah,
and so he tells them, "Throw me in the water."
That's something. Even these pagans, these non-believers, false idol worshiping people, mm-hmm. had more of fear of God than
exactly.
Jonah.
Exactly. Exactly. They yeah. actually prayed.
How crazy
please
is
don't
that?
Hold us accountable for throwing this man over the boat here.
Yeah.
They exercise exactly it.
Yeah.
So he's thrown over and he's swallowed up by a fish, a whale.
Yeah.
And he's in there 3 days. Seaweed, all stuff wrapped around his head. I can only imagine. Can you imagine this horrific?
Think about it.
Horrific.
The stench, pitch black. You know that you couldn't see his hand in front of his face.
Dude.
I cannot imagine.
He was being digested.
Well, think about this. He chose not to fear God.
And go his own way.
And yet he was fearing something else, because you know he was fearful of being in that whale.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, am I about to die here? Am I being... I've been eaten. What's happening here? Where am I going through? Mm-hmm. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fearing something. And this is what Joy writes. She says, Jonah had to learn through a series of horrifying experiences that the consequences of disobedience are always far harder than the act of obedience.
Mm. Wow.
No matter how hard. Think about that.
That's right.
That the act of the consequences of disobedience are always far harder than the act of obedience. No matter how hard you think, you know, it is that you're going to have to do this thing. Listen.
That's good.
We always have God's grace given us to enable us to obey God. And that's the whole thing. Listen, if you haven't been discipled, you need to be discipled, because you need to know and learn about the grace of God. God's grace is his supernatural enablement and his empowerment to do what you cannot do in your own flesh. We can do nothing. We can't obey God. We can't tie our shoes without God's grace and his hand upon us.
And if we forget that, he'll remind us.
Oh, he has no problem reminding us. No problem reminding us. And so it becomes difficult to obey God when we're trying to obey him in our own flesh and our own mind and our own formula. You know, they did this. I read this once about monks. That this particular reading that I read talked about this monk who tried to isolate himself and live an isolated life because he wanted to be free from sin. So he thought that I will join a monastery and I will be away from people. I will be away from that internet. I'll be away from that internet. I'll be away from that TV. I'd be away from the movies and the culture. And I'm going to be away from all of this stuff that's going to contaminate me. And I'm going to get all the sin out of there, away from me, so I can just spend just time with me and God in this room, and it's going to be a sinless area. One problem.
He was there.
Yeah.
You find out yourself is there.
He was there because sin was in his heart.
Oh, yeah.
You can't blame all these other things.
Unfortunately, I tried.
I'm still here. Because people try to tempt this in the flesh, and they put all these barriers. Listen, if a barrier is keeping you, if a barrier is keeping you from obedience, then are you really obeying God? Are you not sinning because you may be found out? Are you not sinning because of the consequences? Are you not sinning because someone's eye is upon you? And so as long as someone's eye is upon you, hey, you're good.
Yeah, a person's eye.
Yeah, person's eye, exactly, because God's eye is always on you. Or are you not sinning because you fear God and you love him? She goes on to say that the more we take the time to study the character of God from his word, facet by facet, the more he will reveal himself. And what she's talking about is abiding. The more that we spend time abiding and listening to God and spending time in his word, and God is speaking to us directly, he'll begin to share with us his will. He'll begin to share with us his ways. He'll begin to share with us his word and what he wants from us to do, how he will encourage us, and oftentimes how he will correct us. And if you're not abiding with God, how do you, the Bible is the mirror to our hearts, is the mirror to our life. How would you know if you don't know the standard? How do you know when you're not in the standard?
Mm-hmm. Or off the standard?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
Yeah.
How do you know that? And it's only when God's word, which is living, active, mm-hmm. breathing, sharper than a double-edged sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is able to help us with the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. It reveals, it exposes, it shines light on us. And that's when we can respond to God as a result of the light, his word.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lamp unto my feet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the more that we spend time with him, he reveals itself. And listen to this. The fear of God is evidenced in our lives by instant, joyful, and whole obedience to God. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If you haven't learned that, I learned that. you don't want to delay your obedience, because that's disobedience. You want obedience to the Lord is when God says it. You want to respond the minute he says it with joy, whole, and I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, John, I'm not there yet. Well, you need to get there. You need to get there, because that's where God is. You got to get there, but you're not going to get there on your own. You can get there by crying out to God and asking God for his heart, asking him for his grace, hating sin, and desiring, valuing. That's the thing. What do you value? Do you value to be in God's perfect will? Do you value the things of God? Are those the highest things? See, if obeying God and walking with God is your highest value, then everything else is going to conform to that. But if obeying God, and God is, you know, optional, and his word is optional, then you're not going to obey him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His word is not optional. His word, you know, this is what America has thought for a long time.
Mm-hmm. The thing about disobedience is it creates a veil over your heart of deception.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. The more you mm-hmm. disobey, it just gets worse and worse and worse, to the point where you're lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking that what you're doing is right, when yeah. ultimately you're dead wrong. And that's just deception.
Mm-hmm.
That veil becomes so thick that you can't even see.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible to come back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you need an encounter with God. That's the scary part, because you think that you've disobeyed him and God's winking at mm-hmm. a sin, or God let that go. Listen, nothing escapes his eyes.
Yeah.
Nothing escapes his will.
And the worst part about it, too, is just like at that point when you're continuing on that journey and you're still quoting scripture, talking about God, but your life contradicts God. And that's just religion. And it's just lying to yourself and believing that lie that you're justified in what you're doing and God's okay with what you're doing, all the while you're totally contradicting what God says don't do.
Listen, you know? There's an intimacy for us to have with God, but the intimacy is going to be on his terms.
Mm-hmm.
Not on our terms. There is a place of oneness. There is a place of walking with God that's beautiful. I mean, the word of God tells us that he who unites himself with God is one spirit with him. But you're not going to bring your stuff. We're not going to bring our junk with God. He's not going to unite himself. He doesn't unite himself to us. We unite ourselves to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that
Amen.
By walking in the true fear of the Lord.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.